I have gone through seasons of my life where experiencing certain things, I start to look different places to find relief. Sometimes it's in the form of just comfort. Sometimes maybe in the form of affirmation. Sometimes in the form of being successful, being seen. But I start searching for things, hoping that I will find something in them. But I got to be honest with you and tell you my go-to. And unfortunately, this is what I run to when I am tired, when I am angry, when I am lonely, when I am celebrating. I run to food. And I would love to tell you, in all of those times, I run to Jesus, but a lot of times I run to Whataburger. Or I run to Bluebell. And I feel a little bit ashamed telling you that, just because, like, I'm supposed to be deeper than that. And I don't know, maybe you struggle and maybe you have things that you run to. Maybe it's affirmation or approval, wanting people to say, no, we love you, you're great, you're okay. Or maybe it's success and looking the part. Maybe it's just the knowledge. And we run to these things hoping that they will bring us life. But beneath every one of those needs, there is usually a deeper need that we don't see. We need, or we feel overwhelmed, or we feel frustrated or anxious or empty, or needing approval or affirmation. But beneath that is often the need for rest or peace or clarity or safety or justice or healing. The need to belong, or the need to feel a part of something, need to be loved. We are usually, though, better at naming those surface level needs than we are the deeper thirst that drive them. It's easy for us to name those surface level feelings. It's much more difficult for us to get down beneath them and see what's underneath. Jesus is on his way from Judea to Galilee. And it says in John 4, now he had to go through Samaria. And I want to stop there. I want to give you just a little bit of background before we move forward, so all of that kind of makes sense as we go on. So he had to go through Samaria on this journey, which was, for a Jew, very, very unusual. It was a three-day journey for them to walk through Samaria from Judea to Galilee. It was a six-day journey to go around, right? To jump on Luke 49 and take it around Samaria. But Jews would never take the shorter route and pass through Samaria. Think about how bad you have to hate someone to add 3 days' journey through the desert to avoid them. And you're thinking, wait, what was the problem between the Jews and Samaritans? Back during the exile, the Babylonian exile, where the Jews were ripped away, pulled into Babylon, they spend the 70 years in exile, and then they're allowed to go back. Right? And when they do that, some of them return and some of them don't. And the ones who stayed in Babylon started to marry people from other nations, which God had said in the Old Testament, you should not do. And it wasn't about interracial marriage. It was more about marrying people from other nations, because every nation had a god associated with it. And to be a part of that nation was to accept their gods. And so God said, this is not about marrying people of other races. This is about people marrying people of other nations, where you start to accept their gods. And so these people started to intermarry. And what that would do is you would take a little bit of dad's religion and a little bit of mom's religion, and you would have a religion baby. And out of this came the Samaritans. And so the Jews thought of them as half-breeds. They were beneath us. They weren't allowed. And so the Samaritans weren't really allowed to be a part of the Jewish people. And so they went and they built their own temple on a mountain. And the Jews said, "That's y'all. And we aren't a part of you. And not only are we not a part of you, we don't want to associate with you. So much so that we're willing to walk 3 days extra in the desert to go around you, to avoid you." But it says Jesus had to go through Samaria. He didn't have to. He chose to. And it says this, "So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey," right? It's been quite a long journey. "He sat down by the well." It was about noon. And so he gives you this really important detail to start, right? The time of day. So understand, Jesus is telling you these things. John is telling you these things as he's writing the story, not just so you know the geography and you know what time it was, but he's telling you some other things that are really important. Because what happens next, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" So she comes to Jesus. She comes to the well. Jesus is sitting there. It's noon. Now, the reason he tells you noon is because during this time, it was basically understood that everyone in that village, all of the women, all of the children, every single morning during the first hour would come together. They would travel to the well, and together they would get water, and they would bring it home. No one would go during the heat of the day. Right, you live in Texas in the summer. You know the time you don't go for a walk in the afternoon is what? 3, 4 p.m.? Any time after 8 a.m. Basically. And you definitely don't want to take your dog on a walk that late in the day or he's going to die. Maybe that helps some of you if you're trying to get rid of someone. I don't know. Just delete that. Pretend it didn't happen. But you did not go at noon unless you were an outcast and weren't allowed to go with the other people. Or maybe not even not allowed, but you've been so tired of the snark comments, of the looks that you get, that you don't want to go with them again. You see, she comes and you see that she's carrying a bucket. What you do not see is the shame she is carrying. You don't see that she is an outcast. You just have to understand what's happening in the story, in the details. In verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, The Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink?" Then the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And he gives you that little piece of information, for the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked for a drink, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. So he asks for a drink, and then she points out the obvious. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You're a man, I'm a woman. You're an insider, I'm an outsider. Why are you asking me for a drink? Why are you asking me? But Jesus keeps pressing past the barriers. And he says, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask, and he would give you living water. If you knew who it was who was standing here in front of you. Jesus does not see her as a problem to solve, but a person to love. He doesn't see the problem of Jew, Samaritan, man, woman. He sees a person who is an outcast, who socially does not belong, is not accepted, and he loves her. You see, he says, I had to go through Samaria. I think it's he had to go see her. He had to go the route no one else was willing to go, because that was the only way he could come face to face with her. He had to go through Samaria. And then she said, sir, you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and all his livestock? She sees a problem. You don't have a bucket. You don't have a way to get the water. You need something to get the water. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. She looks and says, you have a bucket problem. And Jesus says, no, you have a source problem. She says, you need a bucket. And Jesus says, you don't need a new bucket. You need a different well. You see, every day you come with the same bucket, and every day you fill it from this well. And the next day, you're thirsty again. And you come back. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You don't need a new bucket. You need a different well. She thinks it's a how-to problem. Jesus insists it's a where-from problem. This bucket, or my lack of a bucket, is not the problem. Because you can keep changing buckets and still die of thirst. We do this. We do this constantly. We change buckets. But the problem is, the well stays the same. We switch to a bucket and think we're going to get clean. And if we clean everything up on the outside, then everything will be okay. Or maybe we need a bigger bucket. Because if we could do more, if we had more time, if we had more energy, then maybe this would fill us up. Or maybe we need a prettier bucket that costs a little bit more so that people will notice us. Maybe we need a slender bucket. And if I said no to the food and I was a little bit thinner, then everything would be better in my life. Maybe it's the places that we run to, the addictions that we have. What we look at on screens when no one else sees. Maybe it's a smaller bucket, a bucket that can stay hidden, that no one will know about, because it's pretty easy to conceal. Maybe my favorite bucket. That we keep running to over and over again. Maybe it's through a drink that we think we'll find healing, or a more tan, refined version. But we run to these buckets and we think if we just get the right bucket, then everything will be okay. But you can keep changing buckets and still die of thirst. And the problem is not the bucket. The problem is the well that we keep running to. Because the well promises that your thirst will be taken care of. But that well never really satisfies. We're continually looking for more. And so I want to talk to just a couple. I don't usually do this. I want to talk to probably one or two people in the room. And this is really important. Everyone else can kind of just listen. I want to talk to those people who have tried to quit something before and weren't able to. Where they try, you try and try and try, and you say, this time I'm not going back. I'm not going back to scrolling on my phone. I'm not going back to the pills. I'm not going back to the alcohol. I'm not going back to pornography. I'm not going back to seeking approval or affirmation. And you say, I'm not going back to that. And then the next day you slip up again. And you say, I'm never going to do this again. And then it's a couple of days later and you find yourself in the same place. And maybe you make it a few days or a few weeks or a few months or maybe even a few years. But there's always that temptation that's drawing you back and pulling you back to what you've always gone to for comfort. Like I said, just a couple of people in the room. Time and time again, you find yourself at the same well with a new bucket. And I think Jesus says to you and I the same thing he says to her. You don't need a new bucket. You need a different well. You need somewhere else to go, because a new bucket cannot heal a thirsty soul. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back to draw water." She's interested, I think, in what Jesus is saying, but she doesn't fully get it. And I want you to listen to the conversation that unfolds between Jesus and this woman from this point, because I think at this point she's still skeptical. Like, I don't get it. You You don't have the bucket. You don't have something to get water out with. What are you meaning? Jesus tells her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. And then she says, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I, the one who is speaking to you, I am he. Jesus knows everything about her. And he's not saying this to shame her. He's saying this to reveal the wells that she keeps running to. He knows everything and he stays. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me and he stays. And her question is, okay, well, I can't go worship in Jerusalem because I'm a Samaritan. And Jesus says, no, you're not getting the big picture of what I'm saying. This is not about this mountain or this mountain, this temple or that temple. This is about a new temple. And the temple that you're looking for is standing right in front of you. The well you're looking for is me. Because her question is, where can I actually go to meet with God? And what she doesn't understand is she already is meeting with God. He's standing right in front of her. And she doesn't realize who it is. And then I think my favorite part of this entire story, just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? But listen to this next line. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. She came carrying a bucket. She left carrying good news. And I think it's so powerful, John's words. She left her bucket because she found a better well. And she no longer needed that one. She leaves her bucket because she found a better well. And her invitation to the people in the town are just, it's simply come and see. Come and see for yourself if this really is the Messiah, the Christ. He knows everything about me, and he still loves me. He knows everywhere I've been, everything I've done, and he doesn't care. He still invited me. And it's not that you have to go to their temple. It's he is the new temple. He is the new well that never runs dry. You don't need a different bucket. You need a different well. And you can switch buckets all you want. But what I know, I would assume you know deep down as well, that every bucket that you've ever tried has still left you thirsty. And just simply a reminder this morning, or maybe even the invitation to come and see, you don't need a new bucket. You need a different well. Father, we thank you for this time. God, we're grateful for the way that you bless us continually. Father, I pray that you would forgive us. As time and time again, we run to things that we assume will fill us up. We think they will quench our thirst, but Father, they never do. May we once again find ourselves running to you to find life and to find bread and to find water, believing you are the one who will sustain and give life. Forgive us when we run to things other than you, because Father, our hope is in Christ alone. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.